Hey guys, welcome to episode 20 of Inside the Cage. Scott and Mark with you as usual. Good big man.
No bad, mate.
Survived Amsterdam.
By a weekend, how good was it, but
I'm still recovering.
That was class, mate.
Class, mate, class. Start usual guys, socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the same tag for them all, at Inside Cage MMA. Inside the Cage is the name of the podcast. Get it liked, get it shared. Really, we all I care about shares. The more people that see it, the better, because then more people will listen. If one person shares it and then four people listen to it, then that's progress I'm happy with.
That's all good.
So if you listen, give it a share. We'd really appreciate it. I think we'll start with 2-3-4 this week. Normally, we do the other way about and kind of save the big cards for the end, but let's do 2-3-4 first,
let's
I think.
Start straight off about Whitaker.
Well, let's talk about Whitaker. Obviously, Whitaker's in a pretty, by all accounts, pretty bad way.
I think he's going to put a video on Instagram or something like that, saying so everything was alright, but he was just obviously.
He's got a surgery and all that. He could have died, like that's how bad this was, and obviously people are a bit disappointed, but it's not as if it's a fight related injury, it's just a twisted, like a collapsed bowel he had. Like
that's mental.
That's ridiculous.
It was just a mental thing for it to come basically on the other side, like a few hours before the fight, and it's just mental, absolutely mental.
It is mental, but this presents an issue for me.
We've both said this before, didn't we?
I've been mourning for the last year. That last year, 2018, the only belt that never got defended was this one.
We're still there.
And another thing is, we talked about during the weekend, is Whittaker's never actually won this belt or defended this belt.
No.
Because Romero Westweight wasn't a championship match, and he get given the belt.
Promoted from interim champion.
Yeah, from interim champion, so, and he never actually won this belt. So it bugs me so much. I know he's not well, and there's nothing we can do about that, that's fine, but it just, something needs to be sorted. This belt needs to be defended. How long's he going about for? I'd imagine he'll not be allowed to train for a couple of months, 3 months probably.
Well, at least.
And then he's got to do another 12-week camp.
So 6 months
at least. What do? Do you take it off him? It's not his fault. Do you take it off him?
It's a difficult one because I think you're stalling the division again.
Of course you are. You're putting everything back 6 months.
It's ridiculous. I don't know where you go with it. I really don't know. It's such a hard thing for the UFC to say. It's probably as far as UFC, he is the champion. Obviously, he is the champion.
Yeah.
But you've not had that title defended for so bloody long, properly. Obviously, the fight against
Romero wasn't his fault.
Aye. But still, we need a title fight.
Yeah, it needs to be defended.
We need that.
What do we do? Do you take it off him and get Gastelum to fight Jacare for it? And then when Whitaker's fit, does Whitaker get a shot back at it?
Straight off the bat, here's your first fight, Whitaker.
And then later on in the year, you've got Adesanya waiting for his chance.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I don't have a problem with that.
I just think there'll be a lot of people that would disagree with that.
I think there'll be a lot of problem with that, aye. I think there's a lot of people that would disagree with that for the start.
Because his argument will be, well, listen, Romero never missed, it wasn't my fault Romero missed weight. It wasn't my fault that GSP dropped the belt. It wasn't really my fault that I ended up with a twisted, like a collapsed bowel. So, I mean, these things are freak accidents. These are things that just happen to folk. You know, these are the kind of things that kill people, you know, if you don't know about it. And you manage to get the emergency surgery to fix it.
It's been so long, though. It's ridiculous. Like, this title's actually been defended.
Yeah. And Whitaker's had injury problems before.
Of course it has.
I can't imagine how. I don't even think how many times he's fought in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be that many. Do you know what I mean? So it's a difficult one because I think taking it off him would be harsh, but I think it's probably the right thing to do just to get it defended.
You've got to do it for the state of the division. The division is a state of disarray at the moment. We don't know who's.
You can't just be loyal. You've got to be some loyalty to your fighters and to your champs. But at the end of the day, they've got a business to run.
Exactly.
And these middleweights are ready. Jacare Souza's pretty much been told that he was getting a title shot, so he would have been ready for June time to fight somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he's going to have to wait until probably much later than that.
It could be next year.
And plus Adesanya's probably now thinking to himself, I'm up there, man. I've got to get a shot.
It's a messed up division. It's really badly messed up. And something I think has got to happen to sort out. We don't like them. Never have. But I think at least somebody's got to be an interim champion here. There's got to be something. They've got to be an interim champion.
Yeah, but then part of the problem is that he was the interim champion and just got upgraded. I don't want to go down that road again. I think if you're going to make an interim champion, you make them a champ, you take the belt off Whitaker. If you want to do that, just take the belt off Whitaker. there's no point making a running champion, because then basically what the same thing happens as what we should. Basically what they do is they basically put up an interim belt for then as soon as Whitaker's ready, he defends against that person. Which if you take it off him, the person who wins the fight has the belt, and then Whitaker has to win it back.
It's basically the same
fight. It's basically the same format. It's the same fight, no matter what. Whitaker gets to keep his belt. So I can kind of see the attraction, but I'm of the opinion that I just take it off him.
That is harsh, though.
It is really harsh. And I've got nothing against Rob Whitaker. I think Rob Whitaker's brilliant, and I think Rob Whitaker would probably have killed Gastelum last night.
I think they smashed him as well. I don't think it would have been a good contest, if you know what I mean. I think Whitaker would have dominated the fight, yeah, start to finish. So yeah, it's so difficult. It's such a difficult situation there, and it's messing up this division, and it's not really a great division anyway. You've only got maybe 3 or 4 fighters at the top of that division.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at a guy like Weidman, right? Weidman was when we were supposed to fight Rockhold. So Souza was supposed to be nowhere near this year.
No.
Souza beat Weidman when he got called up when Rockhold got injured. Mm-hmm. And then that bumps Weidman. You've got all these guys like kind of sitting about waiting for Whitaker to defend his belt. We've been waiting for Whitaker to defend his belt for over a year, as I said. And it's not happening again. Again, I cannot stress enough that it isn't his fault. And I'm not having a go at Whitaker here. My gripe is probably more with the UFC, to be really honest. It'd be good. The worst thing that's going to happen here is nothing's going to get said.
No.
It's not going to come to conversation. No, somebody has to come out and say, listen, this is what we're doing. Whitaker's keeping the belt. He can't fight till June. Gastelum's ready. We're going to sort something out for Gastelum in the meantime. Mm. It'll be for the interim belt, and then Whitaker and the winner of the fight with Gastelum, whoever it is, going to fight. A plan would be nice. Let us know what's happening, because as a fan, I'm just fucking annoyed, because it's another chance missed to see Whitaker fight. It's another chance missed to see a belt get defended. Mm-hmm. No, we must. I mean, that 2-3-4 as a pay per view was embarrassing.
That was mince, mate. It was. You look at the last and you got
no disrespect, right?
Some decent, half decent fighters on it, but it's not a pay per view card.
That's what I'm saying. No disrespect to the fighters on the card, right? It turned out to be a decent night of finals, some good performances. But how many other of those guys? What if Israel Adesanya, Anderson Silva hadn't been on that card? Who would have headlined that? Nobody on there can headline that card.
Well, you proved that when you Lando Venata. Going from the headliner of the early prelim cards to co-main event.
Yeah, it was a bit of a jump.
It was a massive jump. I think they definitely missed a trick, maybe not having another middleweight fight somewhere on the card in case they could push somebody up just to get a fight on the card.
I can't believe they never had somebody waiting for what for Gastelum.
I think that's...
They normally do. They have a back in the pay backup, so why did that not happen?
They were never going to give Adesanya or Silva the fight against Gastelum, no matter what. That was the fight they wanted to have. So they had to have another backup on that card somewhere, and they never had one. It was ridiculous. They needed another fight on that card just to... It's not a terrible division. It's not a great division. But there's no reason why you couldn't have had a couple of your guys ready and ready to go in that night.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So... Maybe a wee bit of lack of planning for the UFC just in case. Come on, man. Just quick this title defended.
It's so frustrating, mate. I was really frustrated because, as I say, I wanted to see the fight and it needed a main event and it didn't have one. Okay, it turned out, you know, that Adesanya Silva was a good main event anyway, but it just wasn't great. Do you know what I mean?
It wasn't great at all. It really wasn't.
Seeing as we've kind of linked into it, let's talk about the card. I seen a couple of the prelims. I seen Devontae Smith knock out Dong Hyung Ma.
That was good. That was
dominating. And I seen Kyung Ho Kan knocking out Teruto Ishihara because he never tapped. It was amazing. Ishihara took a lot of boss man. He's like, you're choking me, I'm not tapping here. To be fair, it was deep. Like, he was out cold quite quickly. But main card. Why don't we talk about the potential early stoppage? You and I chat about it. Between Sam
Alvey. I still don't know. I've seen it twice and I still don't know.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it, to be honest. I get Alvey's point that he had his thumbs up, but the question...
You're not doing anything.
Yeah, Mark Goddard's
taking the punishment.
Mark Goddard's giving you a specific instruction that you have to move from that position. He's telling him to move from that position. That's basically what he's saying to him, and he put his thumbs up. He's acknowledged at least move, but then didn't move. Right. He was. I think he was covering up, mate. He was dipping his head. He was trying to cover up. I can see what people think, and I can see Sam Alvey's argument. Sam Alvey's argument is that he's been stopped early, but I don't think it was. I think it was perfectly acceptable. Jimmy Crute knocked him on his arse.
Beauty of a punch, wasn't it?
It was a savage right hook, man. It was absolutely unbelievable.
But he should have finished after that.
He should have finished it. It could have happened twice on the card. It happened to Bellator. It happened to Bellator. The guy held back, you know. It's
you go and finish your fight, you wait till the referee tells you to stop. And obviously, Bray Mark Godwin ran out of him quite quickly and obviously thought, oh, he's going to stop you, sir. But no, just go and finish him.
Just until that referee's literally lying on top of you, waving his arms.
Get out the road. No.
Get out the road, aye.
Crute looks good. I like the look of Crute, but so.
Yeah, Jimmy Crute does look good. Montana, De La Rosa, and Nadia Kassem. This was really good. I was quite impressed. Montana De La Rosa got a performance of an eight bonus, which was
very
well
dominant, wasn't it?
Oh, it was 2-10-8 if it went any further.
It was just pure, just laying top of her.
Kudos to Nadia Kassem, because she was in that armbar for about 4 days and didn't tap out.
The triangle with her legs as well was.
She was in that for ages, and then she had three attempts at an armbar and didn't tap once, rolled about, and then eventually.
She's tough.
Wasn't really much else to say. It was dominated by De La Rosa. Ricky Simon, Rani Yaya.
Fire. Weird. Judge decision on this?
You know, I didn't see 10-8s when I watched it. Because I don't know. I find 10-8s hard to give when it's a striking contest. Because it's so close. In
You've
MMA
got
terms.
To maybe have two or three knockdowns around for me.
And proper domination. Like the guy doesn't hit you. But the significant strikes at the end were only 11 apart.
There wasn't a lot in it, was
there? And there was a couple of takedowns and a couple of knockdowns. For Simone, but I wouldn't have said there were 10-8s. It was unanimous, so 30-27 for me. At a stretch, maybe one 10-8.
But not two.
No, definitely not two.
What a weirdest stoppage of the night. And just how it came pure random, Vailando Vanata, just all of a sudden, oh, but man, I'm just finished out right now.
It was very, very strange.
It was a mental finish. It was weird. It was so, so weird. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a really strange submission, like really odd. I was watching it and I knew it was like 5 seconds for the end, and for like 15 seconds for the end nothing was happening. Then I was like trying to get past his guard, and I'm like, how is he honestly going to Kimura him in the next 10 seconds? And even with 10 seconds to go, I'm like, it's 5 seconds to the submission, I know it's coming, but I don't know.
It was
bizarre, mate. It was really bizarre. But I think it was laziness for Mariano, to be honest. Mariano looked really out of place. Co-main event, I mean, well, really, but shall we talk about the much looked forward to fight and fight of the night also?
The Mortal Kombat fight, was it something like a Street Fighter, wasn't it? It was just.
This was something else, man.
The technical aspects of this fight were unbelievable. The striking, the movement, the dodge, it was just unbelievable.
It was honestly like a proper torch pass, like an actual torch pass. Aye. Anderson always says he's not finished. In his interview after, he says he wants to fight in Curitiba, which is where he's from in Brazil. Mm-hmm. So he's not done, apparently, Anderson.
I thought he looked alright.
He looked good.
He did look decent, don't get me wrong. He looked pretty good for a guy who was finished, to be honest. I thought he was being a lamb in the slaughter here. I thought he was just getting ready to get taken out, proper torch bearing. I thought he'd done well. Mm-hmm. I really was surprised at how this fight went. I just love Adesanya. I just kind of love everything about that boy. I really do.
Yeah, I agree.
He's an absolute superstar. He's a superstar. I mean, the UFC have got to do everything possible to make him just one of the best guys in the world, as in like their marketing and all that. They've got to get him on everything. They really have.
He's the next big star.
He's
but then
huge,
again,
man.
But he's 29. He's not like a young boy.
I know. He's obviously they're quite a long kickboxing career, didn't he? So then obviously went in for there, so it was just brilliant the way he stood there and just goes like, here, come here,
it was a really technical fight. I thought it was really, really good kickboxing, you know, Muay Thai, and it was proper. It's hard to talk about because it was just so good. There wasn't much involved. After the two of them were absolutely brilliant, totally embracing, and you know,
they loved each other to death, didn't they? I think you said to me at one point it was like a father and a son just having a wee scrap at the back.
It was like a father and son having a scrap, both same styles, just an older version. The honest, it looks like the same fighter. Like their styles are very, very similar.
That's scary.
They're tall, rangy, you know, kicking, punch. It was very scary how similar they are. It was, that's why I think it was so much like a torch pass. It's like, as me, I've had my time as, you know, this type of guy. You're now this type of guy.
You are the man now.
I should go and do it. I think he will be. I mean, it's going to take like several steam trains to hold Adesanya back. He'd need to fight Gastelum, Whitaker and Weidman, I think, at the same time for them to try and
stop
him.
You can take a punch because it's all a hat on a couple of good crackers, do you know what I mean? It's not as if you could say somebody's just going, unless somebody can, he's got a good takedown defence as well. It's not as if somebody's going to be able to sit on top of him, I don't think that's going to happen.
He's long to get his legs. He's just going to sprawl out and have a loads of good defence done it quite a few times against Brunson.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Overall, despite the fact we missed our main event, happy. Average.
Average. Very average.
I suppose when you compare it to Fortaleza, like,
that was
unbelievable. The difference.
Pash compared to Fortaleza.
Yeah.
It was months. I just, no. I thought it was such a big event, because it was a big event, but it didn't have that two or three big fights that it needed to be.
Gastelum holding the belt as well. What a dick.
What was that all about? Why was Hudo just give him his belt?
I know.
I thought that was mental. I love the way Adesanya said to him, take that belt off.
Put that belt down. Aye, basically.
What are you then?
Yeah.
Then did Gastelum not come in and say something about he should go to the, something about the belt at the end? I'm sure he said something in an interview before the fight. I'm trying to remember now.
I think Gastelum thinks he should be the champion by default. Because he was
there. That's the worst. If you get weighed in, then you call off after the weigh-in or something like that.
He should be the champ.
But I think, is that not a wrestling rule or something that he's talking about?
Don't know.
I'm sure that's because I heard Dana say.
I see his point. We discussed at the start, you know.
But it's a medical issue.
I wouldn't take it off Whitaker and give it to Gastelum. I'd make Gastelum fight for it. I would take it off Whitaker, personally. I'd make Gastelum fight Sousa for it. And then the winner gets a shot at Whitaker when he's ready.
Gastelum back in that octagon as soon as possible. Just give him a fight.
Get Sousa ready.
But then he said he doesn't want to fight until he gets a title fight. He said that.
He says he's happy to wait 18 months if he wants.
Aye.
Well, get his title fight. Take it off Whitaker. Put it against Gastelum.
But they're not going to do that.
No, I know they're not. And I don't really even think, although I keep saying take it off, and that's what I'd do, I don't even know if I would. I don't know if I'd have the heart. You know, if I was Dana White, pull him in the office, I'd change my mind mid-interview. Like, right, Rab, we need to have a chat, mate. And I'm going to, in my head, I'm taking the belt off of you. But I'm sitting talking to him going, I can't do this, man. I can't do this off you. I think that's what would happen.
He's just sitting there, pure crutched over on pain. And you're like, no, I can't do this, mate. No, boy, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Okay, let's have a wee look at Bellator from Newcastle, and very disappointed to have missed it. It would have been absolutely brilliant to be there.
It would have been good to be there.
There wasn't very much of this on telly. There was four fights.
Top four fights on Channel 5, weren't there?
Quickly on Fabian Edwards, it was decision unanimous, and it was unanimous for me as well.
That was brilliant.
It was really good.
Dominated fight in every aspect. There was nothing that really Chadwick could do against.
Chadwick's an absolute monster.
Huge. We said this last week, but he was an absolute beast there, man. But
absolute monster.
No, it's just not good enough.
There isn't really much to say, to be honest. Fabian Edwards totally bossed that. 6-0. Looks good.
Looks very good.
What about our boy, who we both, I think both our hearts were 100 million percent
I've
behind.
Never been so happy to be wrong in my life.
Yeah, me too. Like, my head was brilliant, saying, man. My head was saying no, my heart was saying yes, and he went out and he choked fuck out of Terence.
Well done, Chris Bungard.
Yes, well done,
absolutely
Chris
brilliant.
Bungard.
And it was a great submission that he'd done it. He got his head on his head under his arm and his back, got on top of him, suit that thing.
The head roll to get on the back was amazing.
That was sensational.
It was brilliant.
Life are wrapped around him.
And
it's over.
It was deep.
It was deep, deep.
It was proper. And one thing, though, that pissed me off.
What?
End of fight when I announced the winner, he called him the good... what was it? Wasn't the bad guy, what they call him? The bad boy? Hmm? They called him the bad boy instead of the bad guy.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it just sounds shit, man.
That doesn't sound right.
I was kind of annoyed, but... Bungard was bright, man. He was just purely like, this feels like a Haim game and all that. He was like, I don't even, I'm sure I heard him scream at one point, I don't even comfy here enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it was something along the lines. It was absolutely brilliant.
It was good, man. I enjoyed it. I think Brazier probably did dominate the first couple of minutes, but once he kind of got hold of him and he done what he had to do.
I think Brazier came out strong and tough. I think that's probably what Bungard expected, and then Bungard did exactly what he had to do to beat him, and it was brilliant.
Brilliant.
So good for us, man.
Well done, sir.
Somebody else climbing the you know, the world ranking's got a good record. 14-4 is a good record, so.
Decent, it's very good. Yeah. Can't complain with that.
What about the co-main? Corey Browning against.
Great fight, man. Well,
so I'm so gutted it never went the distance. It would have been absolutely brilliant to go the distance.
I think it would have been really good to go the distance.
Aaron Chalmers, though, I said this to you earlier on, I have much more respect for him as a fighter now, because everybody said, he's just a TV star, you know, trying to make it in the world of MMA. He's not really a fighter and blah, 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 and all this horrible stuff. Like, he's fought bums. And to an extent, I kind of see that. He fought a load of guys who were making their debuts. He mashed them up. But this was a proper fight. This was against a seasoned, you know, although it's only, the guy only had 6 fights previous, right? Still seasoned.
He's a good fighter.
He's a very good fighter. You know, and
we did say last week this was a challenge for Mrs. Chalmers' first proper challenge. I'm not saying he failed it, because I don't think he did fail it as such. He may have lost the fight, but it was a very good performance.
I think he'll look back on the first round and be very annoyed at himself when he stepped off.
Aye, definitely. What a lie. Just why? Go finish it.
When he stepped off for the finish, aye, it was annoying. He knocked him down. Should have finished it. Never ever think the referee's going to, you know, stop the fight. Let them stop it for you.
Until he's
on top of you, try to pull you off. Do not stop swinging. And he'd have knocked him out, I reckon. I think he may have knocked him out.
I think so as well, because that was a hard hit he took him. It was a great punch.
But as Josh Thompson said after it, he said, listen, I want to go and tap him on the shoulder and say, listen, mate, this is what makes you stronger. This is what makes you better. Losses like that, hard ones to take. Because it probably was a hard one to take. It was an even fight, and it was a nasty heel lock. That ankle was running the wrong way.
Absolutely brutal.
How that ankle wasn't in 8 bits, I'll never know. Yeah, brilliant.
Fair play.
Brilliant fight. And actually looking forward to seeing Chalmers again.
I was going to say that, hopefully see him back soon.
Really looking forward to see Corey again. That's twice I've seen Corey Brown, and twice.
He's been decent. He's really good. It was a really good win I got against Baby Slice. So.
I remember Baby Slice just like fell asleep on it. Remember he just kind of like went limp and just like limp beat him. But he totally, again, Josh Thompson again said at the end of that fight, he said what beat Kimbo Slice and Alan Chalmers was conditioning, which is possibly true for Slice, not so much I would say for Alan Chalmers. Chalmers did look absolutely gassed at the end.
Done, wasn't he?
He was gassed, but yeah, man, I was really chuffed, you know, it was really, really good.
You want to move on to the event?
Yes, and
I've got to say, well done, Ryan Scope, because again, somebody proved me completely and utterly wrong. I was shocked by his performance.
You wrote this guy off last week pretty bad.
I thought he was just getting fed to a wolf, basically.
A lamb to the slaughter.
Aye, lamb to the slaughter. Here, Pitbull, go and have him. Kill him. Let's move on. And to be honest, Pitbull had everything to lose here, nothing to gain, in my opinion, as well.
Yeah.
So he had to go and do that, but he never. And to be honest,
I don't think he won the fight.
We don't think. I'd have. That second, first round, definitely Pitbull. Third round, definitely Scope. Second round, it was so tight.
It's a really hard one. Josh Thompson said a couple of things in commentary. He said, see, when it comes down to the closeness to that, they'll probably give it to the bigger name, the bigger fighter. Which is kind of thing is. But I don't think it was close enough, but still a part of me just thinks that Ryan Scott won that fight. And I think it's so hard to take when you look at how good he was. Everybody probably wrote him off against him. Do you know what I mean?
You had to. I'm not saying you had to fight him off, but you look at his past record and, like, he's not really fought a lot of guys. I've got to be honest. I don't know a single guy he's fought. I know the name was long. That name rings a bell. But
he's still 11-0. It doesn't matter if you know who he's fought or not. He's still 11-0. He's still 11 wins in a row. Hasn't been beaten. Do you know what I mean? It's still a good record. And he should have beat. In my eyes, he should have beat Tricky Pitbull. You imagine what it would have done for him if he'd won that one?
Oh, but
even then, with and getting beat, he's
surely a title fight was in the offing.
He's put himself right in the mix. In my eyes.
Oh, definitely.
A lightweight.
100%. He's got to put himself in the mix, because it was a great performance. He got more and more confident as he went on.
I'm actually quite annoyed by Patricky after it, because he basically said that Scope didn't hurt him and was an easy fight, and he kept calling Chandler shite. I don't think he's got any right to call out Chandler after that.
No, I don't guess. That's what I'm saying. That's why I thought for me, he had everything to lose in that fight. And
to be honest, even in winning, I think he still kind of lost.
He still lost, in my opinion. I think he needs another fight. He's not going to just get a fight against Chandler on the back of that performance. No chance.
Yeah.
I wouldn't date it if it was Chandler, no. No way in hell.
I totally agree. I wouldn't take it. There's no way Scott Coker came to you and you're Michael Chandler and says, oh, listen, how about Patrick Pitbull? Like, no.
Why?
He doesn't deserve a fucking shot, you kidding on? Struggled to beat a wee British guy in his hometown.
Why should I?
In fact, Michael, yeah, exactly.
Was that a good one?
Difficult one. Newcastle, obviously, this point we weren't there. Seemed to be a decent night. The atmosphere was amazing.
It's Geordie's in it. It's going to be amazing in Geordieland.
And I think Nathan Grayson getting beat.
Aye.
Was good. Nice.
Good. No offense, you man, but good.
And we mentioned John Ross and his crazy amateur record. Unfortunately, he got knocked out.
Yeah. He got done. Well and truly done.
Yeah, so wasn't much else. Didn't look at anything else on the card, to be honest, because it was a lot of guys we hadn't really heard of. But yeah, Newcastle, good. I was chuffed and gutty for Ryan Scope, but I think Ryan Scope needs to keep himself in the mix and go fight somebody else, kind of, you know, good lightweight, and see where they go from there.
I want to see him back. I want to see him back in that ring as soon as possible. Get him back in the cage.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so now what we've got to do is we've got to look ahead to what is coming up this weekend, and there's about fucking 86 cards we need to talk about.
There's 343, actually.
Okay, sorry. There's actually two Bellator and a UFC.
Aye. There's another couple of ones, but...
I don't really have enough time to talk about everything. No, there's a one champ, and I'm sure there's a one champ, I'm sure there's a...
Cage Warriors as well.
Cage Warriors not the following week?
No, I'm sure Cage Warriors last week, mate.
Is it?
I'm sure it's the 16th. Could be wrong.
I
looked at the card, but it's alright, but it's nothing.
We'll have a look. We'll do the two Bellator because they'll take about 3 minutes.
You're being generous there, you know?
Yeah, probably. The first one on Friday, Matt Mitrione getting back in the cage against Sergei Karatonov, who we've seen before. Karatonov fought not that long ago.
We beat Ryan Nelson. It's not that I could beat Nelson.
Yeah.
And these days, do you know what I mean? So he's not exactly...
There's not really much on this to get excited about, to be honest.
Nothing. Paige Van Sant's hobby's on it, I suppose.
Yeah, Austin's on it. Yeah, Austin's on it. That'll be good. Because she might be kicking about, which is always nice. He looks like a bit of a badass. And by all accounts, his record...
Fucking solid, man.
He's huge, man. He's absolutely massive.
He won his last 10 fights, man. He's basically unbeaten.
Yeah.
As an MMA fight, he's unbeaten. Both pros
and
amateurs.
And he was in the Contender Series.
Do you want to know something? I love his nickname.
What is that?
Austin AK-47 Evander Ford. I like that.
AK-47.
I quite like that. That's different.
There is somebody on this card that I was looking at that I'm quite excited about, and that's Logan Storley.
I don't know, man. Welterweight. That's a really good record.
College wrestler, I think, by the way looking at it, but good record.
Good record.
Obviously very wrestling heavy, but I'll like all that.
Pound him. You'll enjoy this fight. I'll probably board at my tree.
He's had a few good fights, and he's fighting a guy, Ian Pascoe, who was in the original alternative bout for the welterweight against Lorenz Larkin, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure he got beat by Lorenz Larkin, yeah?
Yeah, I did.
See, yeah, sometimes, mate, pull him in the bag, you know what I mean? Pull him in the bag. That's the only thing on this card, really, that I'm looking at. But Saturday's slightly better, obviously, for UK fans, because it's possibly...
Biggest fight in British MMA history?
I would say so, to be honest. Like, you can say, Bisping GSP was a big British fight, but that wasn't British a British fight. It wasn't two British fighters.
It's going to be very rare you're going to get two British fighters fighting this higher level.
I agree. I think the biggest fight between two British fighters, I think that's probably the way to put it, around the biggest fight in British MMA history, because...
Aye.
Bisping winning belts, that was big for a British MMA. You know, Dan Hardy was in the UFC. These are big British fights, but this, in terms of two Brits fighting, this is the biggest, on the biggest stage,
you're ever going to be, or there possibly could be, going forward.
And I hope Paul Daly smacks him. I used to like MVP, man, but he's just an absolute tadger.
Fighter,
but he's a great fighter, mate. He's a great fighter. He's dangerous, that's the thing. He's genuinely dangerous, but he just strikes me as a bit of a dick. And fair play, man.
It's just somebody knows how good he is.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's all. He knows how good he is, and he doesn't give a fuck about
it. Paul Daly's record is unbelievable. Kickboxing.
I can't believe what fights he's had.
Kickboxing, 24 fights. Mixed martial arts, 58 fights.
That is fucking unbelievable.
That's 72 fights.
No, 35?
Yep.
Wow.
To be honest, he's only fought once last year.
John Fitch beat him, didn't he?
John Fitch beat him in points. Unanimous decision. So it's probably got MVP win written all over it, to be honest. Paul Daly's a good fighter, but
he's so inconsistent at times as well. But you look at that, it's ridiculous how inconsistent he is.
I think MVP has got some serious damage, some serious stuff to worry him with. If I'm honest, he's a pretty nasty geezer.
I'm surprised if MVP doesn't win this.
Yeah, me too.
Really, I'll be surprised. I'm looking forward to it, kind of. First one on Sky Sports.
Yeah, interesting actually. It was kind of weird.
It was so random how that deal came about.
It was so quiet, like nobody really seemed to talk about it, and then all of a sudden it came out. They're covering most of the European series, I think I heard.
They're covering more than just the European series.
Are they?
They've got a couple of events on.
Of course, because that's not even part of the European series.
No, that's Connecticut, that's out of. I'm sure they've got a couple of. Because I looked up today and I was just like, I wonder how many fights they've actually got. Apparently did 20 shows this year.
Right.
Obviously, you've got a European series, and then what's the other ones?
Other on this card, you've got Sheik Kongo coming back as well to fight Vitaly Minnikov, who, interesting stat about Vitaly Minnikov, was the last heavyweight champ of Bellator before Ryan Bader.
He's back for his belt.
Yep, he won it in 2014, and then defended it, and then vacated the promotion. He actually defended it against Sheik Kongo, interestingly enough. Way back in April 4th, 2014. So, interesting.
We'd expect he's going to go not fuck it a Sheik Kongo here.
I would expect so, man. He really does sound like a bit of a badass. He's been fighting in.
You don't have that kind of record if you're not.
I know. He hasn't really fought much, though. He's fought four times in the last, 2.5 years? It's not an awful lot.
No, that's true.
It's kind of slowed down a bit. He hasn't fought actually since December 2017.
So it's been a while.
So maybe Sheik might have an edge here because Sheik's had a couple of fights in the last year. So
that's maybe true. Maybe a bit sharper. We'll see.
You've also got Eric Silva finally making his Bellator debut after signing with them September, I think it was, he signed for them.
I love how you jumped right over that other fight that was in there.
I'll come back to that.
Are you coming back?
I'll come back to that. I just wanted to talk about Yaroslav Amosov, to be really honest with you. This guy's 20-0 and by all accounts a scary, scary geezer.
He's 20-0, that's fucking ridiculous, by the
way. That is ridiculous.
I don't care what level it is.
I don't care.
Okay, fair enough.
Beat Roberto Soldic, who's a bit of a badass and all.
True. Aye, fair enough, alright. He won his first fight in Bellator quite easy, but it sounds like so.
So, and it's always a big name. Eric's always a big name, so it's something for Yaroslav to get himself into. Other than this card, obviously, you said I just skipped over the top here, and I was kidding.
Well, I'll just skip over the top as soon as you've mentioned it.
Mirko Krokop versus Roy Nelson.
Is there not a senior series fighting league somewhere these two could just go and fuck off to?
Oh, maybe we should start one.
Senior series fighting league?
Oh, senior FC. SFC.
SFC, you're going for that.
Seniors fighting, and anybody over the age of 38.
And they'll use canes.
If they want,
long sticks.
I don't want to be horrible to these guys. Both of these guys are legends, right? See when you think of heavyweight legends, a couple of names that come to mind are Mirko Krokop and Roy Nelson.
Straight off the bat.
Nobody cares.
I feel as though they've been exploited a wee bit.
Yeah, they've...
Bellator, how can we make a few quid here? How can we get some people interested?
Is anybody interested?
No.
So...
But they obviously think people are. It's a weird one for me. I don't like it. I can't be bored with it. I won't watch it. Unless I find out that they swing about 300 punches in the first minute because the two of them actually can't fight in the second minute of the fight.
It does, to be fair, have potential to be pretty explosive.
We know
Roy Nelson has a chin and Mirko Krokop likes to throw shots. Is there not a kick name after Mirko Krokop?
Don't know about that. I'm sure
there's a Krokop kick.
Maybe you're right.
I'm sure there's a Krokop kick, mate. I'm sure there is. So it has potential to be lively. It has potential to be good. Maybe we're doing these guys a disservice, but one's 44 and one's 42. Meh.
Krokop, he only fought his last fight was in September last year as well. He actually won his last six fights or something.
Good. Maybe he's going to mash John Jones. Roy Nelson. That's a wee look at Bellator for next weekend, guys. I say a couple of cards. Not an awful lot on them.
I wish it's just put them together. I'm sick of these two cards in one weekend.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't, to really be honest with you. Plus, they're both in the same arena.
Aye. Is this like a buy one, get one free deal in an arena package or something?
It's actually really strange, by the way. We skipped over that, by the way. MVP Ball Daly's part of the welterweight company.
Aye, we did kind of mess with it, but we're just kind of quite excited about that.
The fight in general.
So
it's a massive part. It's the last of the quarter. No, it's not. Sorry. John Fitch is the last. John Fitch is the last one. Roy McDonald, which has been announced. Okay.
I found these fights, by the way. Basically, the next five fights are all on Bellator events around Sky Sports.
There you go.
I think basically just showing everything.
There you go then. Interesting, I've got a deal with Sky Sports.
So straight away, when I looked at Bellator, the fights coming up, and I thought, I'm maybe only going to take a few. I thought McDonald Fitch was definitely one of them, because obviously you've got the woman who I can't pronounce her name.
Ilila.
Aye.
McFarlane.
Aye, she's on that as well. So that was definitely one I'm going to take. But I'm looking forward to that. Like, I've got my Sky, so I'm quite happy.
Good. Glad you're happy.
You come to my house to watch it?
Maybe.
Maybe I have to.
Next. Also this weekend, we have UFC from Phoenix, Arizona, and it's Francis Ngannou versus Cain Velasquez. From, we had the venue from the Talking Stick Resort Arena.
What the fuck is the Talking Stick Resort?
That all sounds good, man.
I actually want to know what the Talking Stick is. Like,
no, we can come back to that, but there's some names on this card, by the way.
Well, it's actually a really good card.
Look at the early prelims.
I know, it's a really good card.
Renan Barral, Jessica Pena.
Hmm?
I mean, even Alexandra Albu. That's ridiculous. Actually, even Smith is fighting it. Nick Lentz is on the prelims.
Scott Holden and Nick Lentz is a good fight.
Look at Aljo Sterling, Jimmy Rivera. Why is that not a co-main event?
I don't know. Because James, like, Paul Felder's quite a good fight with him.
I know. Our guy's fighting.
Yes.
Touchy feely. yeah, there's loads of stuff scattered all over this card, like loads of wee bits that, like, really potentially good fights. Courtney Casey, Cynthia Cavillo has got tasted it all over it, and that's Tron Gracie, one of the Gracie descendants, mm-hmm. making his debut. Expect that to be a jiu-jitsu masterclass.
Just rolling about the floor for a bit.
Again, we mentioned Jimmy Rivera, Aljamain Sterling. These are two guys who are making their way up the bantamweight rankings. Aljo's on the back a couple of good wins. They're both, I think, been beaten by Marlon.
Been
beaten by Marlon the last, like, couple of fights, so it's a chance for maybe to get back on. Jimmy Rivera last beat John Dodson. So they both kind of got a wee bit of a roll. That's potentially a really good fight. I can't believe that's on the prelims. That's ridiculous. What else we got? James Vick, Paul Felder. I've been looking forward to this fight for ages, man.
That's quite a big fight.
This got announced weeks, months ago, and I've been looking forward to it ever since.
Was this not meant to be on Brooklyn?
I didn't move it.
Did I make that up? I think I've made that up. Ignore me. For some reason, somebody told me that was... No, it wasn't Brooklyn. I thought it was going to be on 233.
I think it was. It was one of the fights for 233, and it got moved, I'm sure.
Aye.
But I'm looking forward to that. That's got, like, absolutely...
I can't wait for that. Paul Felder could do a win here, actually, because I thought it was a kind of... It was a poor loss against Mike Perry, because Mike Perry's no great.
Aye, so the Casey Cavillo fight, the Vic Felder, the Lopez and Albu fights were all supposed to be on 233 and got moved.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. So, yeah, this is pretty much like a kind of, a wee bit of like half and half, like half of what should have been on 233.
Which is, you can tell that, because it's a very good card.
It's a very good card, yeah. And then, a very, very, very interesting, I don't know why, but I'm so, so interested by this main event. By this is something special.
I didn't realise it was so long since Velasquez had that
fight. Yeah, because he's also not as old as you think at all.
He's only 36.
You think he's like a guy who's like 48.
I can't believe it. Do you know what gets me? He's only had 16 fights.
Mm-hmm. And do you know, they also said he's potentially a problem for any heavyweight on his day. Like, he's totally different from anybody else. His record's unbelievable, mate. He's beat some serious guys.
Fucking hell. He's only ever been in distance twice in his career.
And he defended the belt three times and lost it to Verdum.
Different 6 teams last time, you thought.
Yeah. He's been out for a while. Years. He's been out for a while, but get himself back in and, you know, go for it. Really interesting. And it's also, again, another chance for Ngannou to smash another guy again. Get himself back
to the I think it's a fight that can maybe suits Ngannou.
Yeah.
I don't imagine Kane's going to come out and start rolling about the flare of him, so.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I don't imagine he's going to want to. He's going to want to knock Velasquez out, but then Velasquez has got power. Velasquez isn't just a submission guy, so there's loads of potential banana skins here for Ngannou, but yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a really good fight. As I'm really looking for the whole card. There's no point getting through it all, but really looking forward to the card. Hopefully it'll be a good one.
Good, looking forward to it.
So, any news this week? I know Dana's come out and said that Khabib can't wait until the end of the year. Because obviously Khabib said he wasn't going to fight until his pal's ban was up, remember? And Dana's boys basically telling me, fuck off.
That's not happening.
Pretty much, mate, if I'm honest. Pretty much. I think the way he said it makes it seem like... he said it like you can't fight at the end of the year with the title. So it's like he's saying to him, If you want to fight after the year, you'll not be holding the belt.
Aye, so basically you'll fight as soon as possible or you're...
Or you're dropping the belt. Yeah, basically.
Well, it's one of the most stacked divisions. You can't really make people wait in this division.
There's some more heat behind Bader DC as well.
Bader's, I heard about that.
Bader's coach came out and kind of stirred the pot and said that he could boss Daniel Cormier.
But what's the point? Because it's not as if it's ever going to fucking happen, so it's pretty even talking about it.
I know.
I'd love to see somebody just come in with utter millions. Just go, here, we need to get used to it. Or a cage of some description.
See what Jimmy Crute said afterwards. He got to knock Sam Alvey out twice.
That's kind of true. That is true. I can't actually deny he's saying that. That's probably about right.
I don't think there's been much announced this week.
There's something not happening with Askren and Usman. Or did I make that up again?
Askren and who?
Usman.
Oh, aye, something stupid, like Usman ignored them. Like afterwards, backstage, after the press conference, they were all standing having a chat and stuff like that. And apparently, Kamara went round everybody. Went up around everybody and kind of like, alright boys, how you doing? And Askren's kind of just standing there. But did you see Askren looked like a middle-aged dad who just dropped his three kids off at basketball practice, man. It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable, weird. Man. It was really weird. It was weird. That was weird.
I'm really, really shocked that Sarah Frota's going to fly.
Are you shocked?
I'm so shocked, mate.
Well, maybe we could talk about European series girl getting shown. Maybe we're getting mixed up with Channel 5, because Channel 5 are showing the whole thing.
With what?
The European series.
Aye, they're showing some of it. I think they're showing
the
Birmingham one.
Six fights or something like that, or eight fights this fight card this year or something like that.
I think there was a couple of kind of wee fights added to London and
that's a stack
Prague card, London looks amazing, mate. So does Prague, to be fair. Prague looks really good.
Prague does look really good. Went forward to Prague.
So I say there's a one championship this weekend. I think Cage Warriors is the
final. Oh, that was what I wanted to bring it. Did you see Johnny Walker's Instagram?
No.
OSP is out his fight with Misha Sernikov.
I seen that. I just seen that there.
Aye, so Johnny Walker called out Misha Sernikov.
Johnny Walker in Prague? In Prague? No, it's 235. Oh, interesting. That'd be a good
fight.
That's
a step up, by the way. That's major. That's like, I want a ranking fight now.
Cage Warriors 101 is this weekend, by the way, guys. It's from Liverpool. Get it on the Fight Pass. Get the Fight Pass downloaded and get it on there. Again, another good set of European fights on there. We didn't really have much time to talk about tonight, but there's like 13, 14 fights as usual. Get it watched.
Yeah, well.
If you've got the Fight Pass, get it watched. A couple of guys headlining, that are making their debuts as well. So get it watched. As there's one championship, I'm sure, this weekend as well. But yeah, that's us anyway for this week, guys. Again, get us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Give us a shout. Let us know what you think. And we will catch you next week.